Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Checkout. On December 12th at the National Jazz Museum in Harlem, The Checkout from WBGO is recording a panel, A Year in Jazz, with our editorial director, Nate Shenen. And it includes a lot of awesome panelists, some friends of The Checkout, including former producer of The Checkout, Giovanni Russinello, now a New York Times jazz critic, Michelle Mercer, author and contributor to NPR and biographer of Wayne Shorter, and Eugene Hawley, radio producer and critic. We hope to see you there December 12th at 7 p.m., the National Jazz Museum in Harlem.
If I had a heart of gold, as some folks I know.
This is the incredible voice of Leila Makala. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast, but you know that already. And you should probably subscribe to it if you haven't yet, and share it with your friends. We encourage that. Presenting The Other Side of Jazz from our studios in Newark, New Jersey, and today is no exception. I'm Simon Rettner. Not only is she a singer, but she also plays the cello, the banjo, and writes her own folksy, bluesy, bluegrassy tunes with a New Orleans tinge, sometimes to the poetry of Langston Hughes. Born in Queens to a Haitian-American family, then raised in Maplewood, that's where she learned the cello in New Jersey's public school system. There she discovered the music of Bach and other orchestral classical music. After moving to New Orleans, she joined the famous all-black modern string band known as the Carolina Chocolate Drops. There she incorporated all kinds of varying forms of Americana into her own compelling original songwriting, especially tapping into her own African-Haitian-American heritage. Today, we hear Leila Makala's story from the Mundial Montreal World Music Conference on The Checkout. Thanks for checking in.
My name is Leila Makala, and I'm a cellist and a singer. I play tenor, banjo, and guitar. I'm here at the Mundial Montreal Conference in Montreal, Quebec, and you're listening to my music on The Checkout.
If I go away, I want you to pray, not for me, for the souls who have gone away before. If I am to stay, I want you to pray, not for me, for the souls who have stayed like me before. Day for the hunter, day for the prey, day for the hunter, day for the prey, day for the hunter, day for the prey, day for the hunter. Thank you.
I was born in Queens, New York. I moved to Maplewood, New Jersey when I was 5 years old, where I grew up. I started playing cello through the public school system and became really serious about classical music when I was about 12 or 13. And I started taking private lessons and then had the opportunity to study with a really amazing cellist named Andre Milianov, who was also a professor at Juilliard and a touring, you know, classical phenomenon. And, you know, I became really passionate about playing orchestral music, you know, started to think that music was really what I was gonna do with my life. The Bach cello suites were kind of like the basis for my upbringing as a cellist. I would say, I mean, everyone has to sort of learn the first suite, but I had a big attachment, especially in high school, to the third suite. Growing up as a black cello player was definitely a surprise for lots of people that I was around. Certainly for my family. I mean, I went from like my mom saying, "Layla's gonna play some classical music for us," and my whole family would be like, "No, please don't do that." To actually like being able to play and sound good. And so while I got a lot of support from my family, I think it was always this sort of thing of like, how did this really happen, you know? And I certainly, you know, I always had trouble sort of feeling like I fit in school. And I think music was really like a refuge for me. And I think it is that for a lot of kids, that especially the kids that, you know, take it really seriously and whose talent is recognized when they're really young, becomes, you identify more with playing than you do with like being around your peers. And, you know, kids can be so so cutting and so mean, and it was an easy target. But, you know, thank God. Thank God for my cello playing. I kind of realized while I was in college that classical music wasn't really going to be the basis for my career, which was not what I went into college thinking at all. So that was a real big shift for me. I became really fascinated by jazz and improvised music and, you know, even stuff that isn't jazz, just kind of, you know, the out-of-the-box art scene in music in New York, and I became enamored with that. I was actually a cocktail waitress at a venue called Zebulon in Williamsburg. One artist that I became totally addicted to his approach to music is a cellist named Rufus Cappadocia, who I studied with when I was in college and who subsequently became a huge supporter and mentor of mine. My aunt invited me to this party in Brooklyn, and I was like 18 years old, and Rufus was playing with a band called the Voodoo Drums of Haiti, and it was my first time seeing the cello in that context. So that, you know, that alone kind of blew my mind, and I probably would have been impressed with whatever, you know, the person did. But then I saw Rufus playing, and he was just, you know, he was strumming the cello strings, he was banging the bow on the strings, and it was like really rhythmic and groovy and in the pocket. And it was the first time that I had seen the cello in that way of like, this can be like a rhythm instrument in like a voodoo band. Like, that's incredible. And I just remember feeling like, I want to do that. When I was living in New York, I was bartending, I was teaching at a nonprofit, I was like playing at a church on Sundays, I was everywhere. I was playing with all these singer-songwriters, just picking up random gigs as I could. And I felt like my energy was just being zapped by all of those things. Like, at one point, that was the goal, was to be able to, like, do all these things, right? And live in New York and live this New York life. And at a certain point, it just felt like this can't be the goal anymore, because I've already done this, and I feel like I'm just going to keep on doing this if I stay in New York. I traveled to New Orleans. I met some women on the street on Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg. That was where I lived at the time, and they invited me to play with them on the street in New Orleans, and, you know, they paid me and put me up and gave me a bicycle to ride around from the Bywater to the French Quarter with my cello in, like, a little carrier. And I just fell in love with New Orleans. And I think I traveled to New Orleans that year. It was, like, 2009. And I would pay for my trips by playing in the street. And there was so much magic in that time of my life, I think, because I felt really independent. I felt secure. I felt happy. You know, I was just playing my cello and I felt like I could just focus. That was an original song to Langston Hughes' poetry, and the title is Heart of Gold, from my debut album, Very Colored Songs. I'm Layla McCalla, and you are listening to my music on The Checkout. So I'm in New Orleans now, and I'm, you know, playing on the street 4 to 5 days a week. And one day, a man named Tim Duffy approaches me and asks me if I know my sister. Basically, he had met my sister in Asheville, North Carolina, at a Carolina Chocolate Drop show, and it turns out he was one of the managers for the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and she gave him the coordinates of where I would be on the street. So I see this man walk up, and he looks like he's looking for me. It wasn't just like a random person. It's like he's extremely intrigued by what he's looking at. And so I noticed this, and he asked me, do you know Sabine McCalla? And I said, yeah, well, that's my sister. And he said, I manage a group called the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and I had heard of them because I had started getting into old-time music and Cajun music and sort of playing fiddle tunes on my cello just from people I was meeting in New Orleans. And so it was really exciting for me to talk to him. And I knew that the Carolina Chocolate Drops were an all-black old-time string band. And that is, of course, an extremely intriguing thing to you know, have existed in 2010. I think it's more accepted that that is a possibility because of the work that they did. But, very shortly thereafter, I was sort of thrust into making a couple of songs with them for their record. One song that I was playing with them was a song called Country Girl, a song that Rhiannon Giddens wrote. And we recorded at Buddy Miller's house in Nashville, and I ended up touring with the Carolina Chocolate Drops for almost 3 years of my life.
I am a country girl. All day I dream about a place in the sun, kind of like where I'm from, with the tall grass blowing in the breeze, running barefoot round the tall oak tree. All day I dream about a place I've been, a place where the skin I'm in feels like it's supposed to be. And anyone around who looks at me says, I am a country girl. I've been around the world, and every place I've been ain't quite nothing like living in the South. Oh, when I shut your mouth, I am a country girl. Shut your mouth. I was born in the country, that's a natural fact. On these long city days, I wanna look back to see Topeka fields, a row after row, red clay cracking where the silver queen grows.
This is Layla McCalla, and you are listening to my music on the Checkout. I am here at the Mundial Montreal Conference in Quebec. After a couple of years of touring with the Carolina Chocolate Drops, there was sort of like a crossroads moment where it was like, are you going to stay with this project, or are you going to go out and do your own thing? And for a time, I felt really conflicted about that, and then I didn't, and I decided to release my debut record, Very Colored Songs, and I felt the moment was right for me to sort of branch out. I felt like if I don't branch out now, you know, what there's not ever going to be really a better moment. They're all equal moments, and you just have to decide to seize the moment, you know? And so I made the leap from a secure working situation, and I think it was absolutely the right thing. I released my album, Very Colored Songs, which was based on my compositions with Langston Hughes poems and my Haitian heritage, my songs that I had found, mostly old folk songs from Haiti.
Merci, bon Dieu.
I want to take you to a song called Merci Bon Dieu. that was written in the 1950s by a Haitian guitarist named Franz Cassius, who was actually Marc Ribot's guitar teacher. This is a song that just, it made me feel like I really need to be learning more about Haitian music and Haitian culture. The song Merci Bon Dieu means thank you, Lord, and it's a song about being thankful for a good harvest. And so the song says the rain is falling and the corn is growing and all of the children are eating, so let's dance. Our Father up in heaven says our misery over.
Merci Bon Dieu, regardez comment la misère est finie pour nous. Merci Bon Dieu, regardez tout ça la nature.
This is now like a total classic, a Haitian classic. But for me, it was like a totally new song that I thought no one knew. And it turns out everybody knows this song. I play it so often, and I still have a major attachment to performing the song because I feel like it's just such a gem. It's such a gem. And people need to know that there are lots of gems that have come out of Haiti. Haitian culture has been so stigmatized in American consciousness. And I think there's a lot of really ugly racist reasons behind that. And so I'm, you know, very committed to dismantling those ideas through my music. I'm going to leave you with an original song that I wrote, Far From Your Web. Thank you so much for listening to my music on the checkout at the Mundial Montreal Conference in Quebec.
Grace has kept me far from your web. I roam free in my garden instead. I thank my lucky stars, the little bird told me all the things I wouldn't have heard.
music from Leila McCalla's recording as a leader, A Day for the Hunter, A Day for the Prey, from Jazz Village. And we thank her so much for being so candid and telling her story on this show. If you missed it, you can just subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, or go to our website at wbgo.org. Check out jazz.org. And also make sure to follow us on social media. We have a Facebook page and Twitter at checkoutjazz. If you follow us there, you will also find our Nate Smith podcast that we recorded many, many months ago, but it was his debut recording, and it was recently announced that he is nominated for 2 Grammys. The Checkout interviewed him first, and it's an incredible podcast. I highly recommend listening to it. And also, on December 12th at the National Jazz Museum in Harlem, The Checkout from WBGO is recording a panel, A Year in Jazz, with our editorial director, Nate Shenen, and it includes a lot of awesome panelists, some friends of The Checkout, including former producer of The Checkout, Giovanni Russinello, now a New York Times jazz critic, Michelle Mercer, author and contributor to NPR and biographer of Wayne Shorter, and Eugene Hawley, radio producer and critic. We hope to see you there December 12th at 7 p.m., the National Jazz Museum in Harlem. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.